Friends, as we prepare to hear scripture read, let us join together in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, that through your word we may be guided into the love of God for all the world. Amen. Well, our first scripture reading this Sunday comes from the book of Psalms in Psalm 22, verses 25 to 31. Even in the midst of deep trouble, David ends his psalm lifting up the mighty power of God who has dominion over all people and all creation. Let us listen to David's praise together. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and return to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. To him, indeed, shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it. The word of our Lord. This morning, our New Testament reading is found in the fourth chapter of the first letter of John in verses 7 to 21. We are almost at the end of John's letter, and we'll end the sermon series today. Now, John continues writing about how we must love others if we love God, and then ends his letter with some thoughts about testimony. Let us listen together to the life-giving words of God. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loves us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, at this point in John's letter, many readers might sigh at the redundancy of John's words about Christian love. I mean, honestly, John has used so many of the same words over and over in this letter, maybe just in different sequences and phrases. And each thought continues to point to the supernatural yet familiar feeling of love. It's pretty easy as we read through this letter to see that John believes in the power of love. It's interesting to think that way back then, people were struggling to love one another in many of the ways that we struggle today to love one another. And perhaps John knew just how hard it was to love each other, which is why it seems in this letter he keeps repeating the same familiar theme. But what might feel redundant may in fact remind us this day that out of all of the ways in which we can learn how to be like Christ, every word or story or phrase in the Old and New Testaments, everything points to the incredible power of love. And yet, how often, sometimes on a daily basis, do we find faithful believers whittling the Christian faith into a list of judgments and accusations and rules? As I said last week, why are we then surprised that people aren't running to our church doors to come inside? We have consciously or subconsciously turned the biblical definition of love into something that is, well, oftentimes temporary and weak, and ultimately not at all what God intended to be expressed between God's people. You can almost feel the desperation John has to help his readers grasp the spiritual definition of love that was created by God. The Greek word for this love is called agape. You've likely heard that Greek word before. And we can't compare agape love to any other love reflected. Love we see reflected in the latest romantic comedy or maybe written on the most expensive Hallmark card, many of which you will be purchasing this week for your mothers. The kind of love that John describes in his letter is love that is unending and endures despite every obstacle put before it. King David describes agape love in today's reading from the Psalms when he speaks of God's people bowing down to worship God. It's a quick glimpse to what we will experience in heaven together. But offering and living within the realm of agape love is one of the most difficult things we can express here on earth. Not just difficult, but many days it feels impossible. And yet, I think we are all compelled to try every single moment of our lives to love as Christ loves us. Because at the end of our lives here on earth, it will be that we offered agape love above any other accomplishments that we achieve in our lifetime. Now, last Sunday, I talked about how important, even necessary, it is for all of us to learn what it means to abide in Christ. A very real way we do this is being very deliberate about taking time to pray, reading scripture, listening to spiritual music, maybe practicing silence so we can hear God's voice, and spending time in community with other believers. Developing spiritual practices and reorganizing our daily schedule with a focus on God is key to being able to abide in Christ, but also to love those around us. Because when we are grounded in love, that's when we believe that Christ abides in us. We remember that. And we remember that we must abide with Christ so that we can learn how to live lives that meet God's desires and not our own desires. Now, the other side of understanding that Christ abides in us no matter what is that we also need to know and remember that Christ abides in everyone else all around us. And when we remember this, it is then that we should approach others as if we are approaching or interacting with Christ. Of course, that's easier said than done, but we keep practicing. Well, John reminds us today that we no longer have to be anxious to engage in some sort of endeavor to placate or please God. And that should feel good. It's good to know that we don't have to do certain things to have Christ's love and to feel like we can abide with Christ. And so we can take a deep breath and feel a sense of peace and that promise that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Pursuing an expression of love for God sounds rather divine, poetic. Prayerful phrases come to our minds when we think about carving out some time to worship and adore God. And I suppose we could just end today's sermon on that note. Go find time to spend with God, because we all know that we feel happy and blessed to be able to be in the presence of God. That's a really easy way to respond to the agape love that we are given by our Creator. But if I stop the sermon at this point, well, we'd all miss the other piece to this passage, so to speak. And that piece we probably would rather ignore, because it's the part of John's words that remind us our response to God's love is also shown in the way in which we love others. We know God in the fullest and most authentic sense only when the love of God flows through us. It's understanding and realizing that love is not a concept. It's an action. And expressed love is not only reflected in our vertical relationship with God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, but it is also reflected in our horizontal relationships with God's people that we see each and every day. And friends, that's when love gets just a little bit messier and more complicated. It's not enough to remember Jesus's self-sacrifice, to think about it and be moved by it personally, but we also have to live it. To know the love of God is to live the love of God. As a church and people grounded in the love of Christ, we are commanded to be generous in our love for one another and the community around us, because we can also admit that it's easy to say we love others if we're only thinking about the people we like. It's much harder to love others that we don't agree with or we don't know or who look different than us or who live lives different than us. The reality is that our world is terribly confused about love. People look for love in all the wrong places and in the wrong people, and yet deep, deep in their hearts, they are looking for the kind of love that only God can offer. And that's through us. Agape love, transformational love that gives without expecting a return, love that is sacrificial in nature, and this is the type of love that John says the people of God need to express to one another. Now, one way in which we express this agape love is kind of alluded to by John at the end of the scripture passage and through the rest of his letter. And he talks about testimony. Our testimony is our personal story of God's love for us. It's the unique way in which God has shown his love for us, in a personal or maybe in a more public way. You might say it is the gospel according to us. Now, I wonder what some of you are thinking when I use that word testimony. Maybe you are internally shaking your head because you think it might mean that you have to stand up and speak in front of a large audience. Or maybe there's some of you that are thinking about the PowerPoint slides you can create to enhance your story as you share it with someone else. Maybe some of you are sitting there thinking about a specific moment or story that would describe to someone else how God has loved you to this point in your life. And yet others may be sitting and thinking, I really don't have a really good story. Well, instead of looking at it as a testimony, like we're going to be called to court, maybe we focus on that word story, because who doesn't like a good story? Think about the stories that have been so easy for us all to remember, from the ones that we read when we were little, like in the Little Golden Books. Hello, Pokey Little Puppy. I bet some of you remember that. Or I think about Shel Silverstein's famous story of the giving tree that talks about the love that this tree offered to this boy through his life. How many of you maybe have trouble picturing the physical details of a deceased family member, but you remember word for word the story they told you that brought you to laughter or tears? Well, today I want to talk about a specific story. I want to talk to you about your personal story of faith being told in just 6 words. I'm serious. 6 words. Do you think you could do that? Well, some say it was Ernest Hemingway who first wrote the famous 6-word novel. He wrote For Sale, Baby Shoes, Never Worn. Now, whether it was the famous American author Hemingway or not, the allure to compact an entire story into just 6 words has sweeping appeal. It has sparked contests, books, websites, memes, and countless high school writing assignments. Writer and speaker Emily Ryan says this about creating a 6-word story. Most of us don't have all the answers when it comes to explaining God or sharing Christ with those around us. We have questions too. We're still figuring it out ourselves. So sometimes, since we can't explain everything, we don't share anything. We keep our mouths shut because we're worried that we're unqualified or unprepared to witness to God's love. But may I remind you, we all have a personal story to tell. If you have trusted Christ, you have a before and you have an after. And that's where you should start. She goes on to say that there's nothing magical about putting it into exactly 6 words. But I do challenge you to see if you could write your testimony, your story, in 10 words or less. Now, Emily goes on to offer a few generic possibilities to spark our creativity. Here's a 6-word story. I was lost, now I'm found. Or once an orphan, now I'm adopted. Sentenced to die, now fully pardoned. Do you think that you could write your own story in under 10 words? Because our world is so confused about love, we need to testify to God's love that never changes or ends. When was the last time that you shared with someone what God was doing in your life? Or when was the last time you shared how God had blessed your life? Not only would John encourage us to share with others our love story with God, I believe John would encourage us to share with others what God is doing in our church. We need to become a church that isn't afraid to talk about the things God is doing in this place. Let's get excited enough about God's activity in our church that we share that enthusiasm with our neighbors and coworkers and families and friends. Because the reality is that people are drawn to places and people that are excited about life and what God is doing in their lives. We all know that we can't control the destruction and chaos in most places in our country and around the world, but we are reminded by the disciple John that we can control the way in which we relate and react to all God's people. And if we can control this, well, we're off to a good start. So what if we start with a story, our gospel of good news? Now, it doesn't have to be grand or exciting or too long. It doesn't have to be Harry Potter-sized novel. Perhaps we all start with just a short, concise, 10-word story. Well, as you know, this afternoon, I'm leaving for a week of continuing education, and I've given myself a few assignments that I want to complete in the coming week. And so I thought maybe I would also offer an assignment to you as well in the coming week, or if you need another week after that. How about our assignment is to write our 10 words or less faith story, your story of God's love in your life. And then I think what would be really great is, of course, once we've written our 10 words or less story, is for us to share it. Maybe begin by sharing it with one another. And so, you know, I'm going to make sure that we have a place on our Facebook page, Facebook friends page, where you can add your story in the comments. You can email it to the church or to myself. Even if you want to be anonymous, but share your story, write it down on a piece of paper and stick it some in my church mailbox or in the church office. I think it will be wonderful to begin to read the stories, faithful reminders of God's agape love for each of us. And what I'd like to do is to be able to share those 10 words gospel stories on Pentecost Sunday. Now, that Sunday is the day in which we will welcome new members to our church, our confirmands, our youth that have been in confirmation class. Now, they have a different assignment. They have an assignment that requires more than 10 words, a couple hundred words to describe what they believe in terms of faith and kind of their statement of faith. I'm not sure who has the hardest assignment, 10 words or less, or the ability to use more than 10 words. But better than hearing or receiving your stories will be the moment when you start sharing your story. And you know what? It just might be your story that someone is desperate to hear. So take some moments during the next couple weeks to think about what 10 words you would use to write your story and to reflect the love that God has expressed to you in your life. Express excitement and live with joy and live without fear, trusting in the sure and certain knowledge that you, yes, you, are a beloved and cherished child of God. Alleluia. Amen. I invite you to stand if you are able and join with me in our song of praise, Redeemer, Savior, Friend.